Is everyone all right? Can I encourage you, don't let your physical sight ruin what God wants to do in here. Can I say that? Don't let the physical sight ruin what's in here. Don't let the physical feeling of the world take away what God wants you to do or what he wants to do in here today. I did get a few apologies because I know people on school holidays, so they love to travel during this time, which is all good. But you made it here today. You're here today. We really haven't had a series. I know I mentioned that last week. We haven't had a series, but everything's been lining up back to back to back to back ever since the dark room. We started the dark room. And I pray that God speaks to you this morning and brings fresh gems to you. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We open our hearts to your Holy Spirit to speak to us, that we'll be refreshed, renewed by your word, not by a good sermon, but by your word and by your spirit. And so, Father, we just welcome you. We thank you that you're in here. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people say, amen, amen, amen. The truth about Christianity is that being saved is not just a prayer you do on a Sunday or at a conference. Can you agree with me? Amen. Being saved is not just a one-time moment where we get this divine encounter from God that flips our world right side up. Because the truth for many of us, when I think about it, the truth for many of us, it wasn't this grand experience where we came to know Christ. For many of us. Some of us maybe have met him in a garage, may have met him in a church service, may have met him in a parking lot, may have met him, I don't know, in your home. But a lot of people who say they're Christian or have this experience and encounter with Jesus has never been this grand one where it's like lights, camera, action. Are you guys all right? But it's always been something that that just happens. God just comes and all of a sudden we're saved. And so I was asking God, what do you want to talk? He gave me two things this week. But I was like, come on, man, be like specific. What do you want to say? And the title of my message, if you're writing notes this morning, I encourage you to, is the title of my message, which is also a statement. It's not just a title of a message. It's a statement. And it's called this, I'm being saved daily. So tell your neighbor, I'm being saved daily. Okay, I can't hear you. So tell your neighbor, I'm being saved daily. Because the truth is, I need Christ daily. The moment that I think I don't need his salvation is the moment I rely on myself, which only leads me to disappointment, to regret, to guilt, to shame, and most of all, it leads us to death. When we don't rely on Jesus. Romans 3:23 is a famous scripture that Christians have talked about, posted about, and it's this, Romans 3:23, for all who have sinned and fought short of the glory of God. We hear this in sermons, we hear this in prayers, in most Christian circles, but many people don't know what it actually truly means. For all have sinned and fought short of the glory of God. But what does that actually mean? It's a cool statement, but what does it mean? And I'm not going to talk long about it, but in simplest terms, or a simplest definition, it means that we've missed the mark of God's glory and perfection. Simply, we have missed the mark of God's glory and perfection. And then we have to ask ourselves, why have we missed it? Because everyone talks about it, oh, you missed it, but why have we missed it? We missed it because of sin. Are you right? Sin is the reason why we miss the mark. And it doesn't matter how close you are to the Lord. It doesn't matter how many times you've read your Bible. It doesn't matter how many times you pray. It doesn't matter how many times you come to church. We will always miss the mark. Because we can't be perfect. No title can do it. No attendance can do it. No daily reading that you do on YouVersion Bible app can do it. Not the word of today can do it. We're just always going to miss it. Why? Because we have this side of humanity where there's sin. We're battling with sin. And sin is the reason why we always miss the mark. I put it like this in simplest terms in this quote. Oh, it's not a quote. I just wrote it. Salvation isn't a pill that cures us to stop sinning. Salvation is our acknowledgement that we need Jesus. Just because we're saved doesn't mean it's cured. Bang! I don't know why. I don't know why pastors do this to people. We set people up to fail when we say, "Oh, God's gonna change your life and all this," and then like, where's the changing? I thought when I received Christ, I want to stop swearing. I thought when I stop when I start seeing. Oh wait, there's kids in here. When I started receiving Christ, I stopped doing adult films. I don't want to say it loud. Whatever it may be, we have this false concept about salvation that salvation is a cure to our sin. Salvation is actually just acknowledging that we need a Savior because of sin. Acts 4, 10 to 12 says this, "Let me clearly state to you all and to all the people of Israel or the hills that he was healed by the power and name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the man who you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to Scripture where it says the stones that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone." And I just want to hone into this verse, in the verse 12. "There is salvation in no one else." This has to be clear. Salvation cannot become from a church service or a church person or a pastor or a leader. Salvation only comes by one name, and that name is Jesus. Because God has given no other name, no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And so in all truth, Jesus is our salvation. But we treat salvation so casually. Because without Jesus, there is no salvation. And so if that's true, and we come to this place of like, yeah, without Jesus, there's no salvation. Then where are you with Jesus? Because we can quote all the scriptures we want, but where are you with Jesus? Not where are you with your word, not where you are with theology or how much you've been praying, but where are you with Jesus? And so what I want to go through today, I'm being saved daily. I want to explain or teach us this morning, what is salvation? Because I can guarantee you either haven't heard this, but not in this way. There's six things or six pillars to your salvation. You right? I want to explain six things that happens to your salvation when we say, "God, come into my life." Because salvation is multifaceted. But many don't know this truth of salvation because we think we put salvation in a box where it's like you say a prayer, you receive Jesus, and then you go to church and you serve the church. Isn't like that's just like the normal, yeah, salvation, yeah, cool. And you just make sure you live your life right out there. But salvation, there's more to salvation than that. And I want to go through six things that I hope that encourages you, but also pushes you to go towards Jesus. Are we okay? And so the first truth is this, and if you're writing down, I'd encourage you to write down. The first one's this. Salvation involves the forgiveness of sin. So when we get saved, can't ask God into our life, forgiveness of sin. It just comes with it. Ephesians 1:7 say he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. Powerful. Don't you reckon? He forgave our sins? That's powerful. Acts 10:43. He says, he is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. Our sins are not forgiven through a prayer that we do, but our faith in whom we're praying to. And so the first facet or the first face we need to see with salvation is that salvation involves the forgiveness of our sins. Who's thankful for that? I'm thankful for that. Are you thankful for that this morning? I'm thankful that I don't have to be entrapped by my sin or be a slave to my sin anymore, that Christ's death paid for it and he's forgiven me. But he hasn't just forgiven us. He has chucked it into the depth of the sea where he remembers no more. Are you guys right? He remembers no more. I can remember a while back, I said, we have so many Christians around the sea of forgetfulness fishing. You remember that? I remember it. I remember clear as day when I was preaching to the church. I don't know if it was here or over there, but I said that we have so many Christians sitting by the sea of forgetfulness, reminding God what we've done wrong, when God said, what are you talking about? I've already forgiven you. The sea of forgetfulness is not for fishing, but to cast your burdens to, where God remembers no more. And so I'm thankful that salvation involves forgiveness of sin. The second thing that I want us to really hone into is that salvation involves redemption. Salvation involves redemption. That each and every one of us, when we receive Christ into our life, that we have been redeemed. What does that mean? It means delivered from sin and its consequence and have been brought into a new life in Christ. Can I say that again? We've been redeemed, meaning that we've been delivered from sin. Hear this. We've been delivered from sin. Meaning, like, I know it's just like delivered, wow, cool word. But we've been delivered from sin. Meaning, God just doesn't forgive our sin and leave us there. But he delivers us out of it. You can tell that when you're not really truthful, can I be honest? You know when you're not truthful when you go to God, can you forgive me? You're just doing it out of the act of like, oh, I better go to God because I know I did something wrong. The only way you would know if you're sincere to God about forgiveness is that if he's delivered you. You guys are right? There's one thing to ask for forgiveness, but there's another to be delivered from your sin. And that's what redeem means. Salvation is forgiveness of sin, but also salvation redeems us. He delivers us from sin and from its consequences. Not the consequences of eternity. Like, he delivers us from the consequences of eternity, but he doesn't deliver us from the consequences that's happening here. Can I say that again? When we ask God for forgiveness, he redeems us and he delivers us from sin and consequences, but that's eternal consequence, not the consequence that you have to face here on earth. Why do I say that? If I steal something and I get caught, I go to God, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, I stole something. Just because God forgave me doesn't mean the judge will. So in eternity, I'm delivered from consequence, which is eternal hell and condemnation. But on earth, I have to face the consequence. So when God says he delivers us from consequence, he doesn't mean he's going to always deliver you from physical consequence, because sometimes you've got to learn how you're going to learn. Sometimes, you know, you know when you go to that person, you tell them over and over again, if you don't get your life right, man, if you don't just change this in your life, there's something bad's going to happen. And they keep doing it over and over, and you're like, okay, I give up. You got to learn by yourself. God does the same thing. But he delivers us from eternal consequence. So God is a God who redeems. Galatians 3:13. Say, Christ redeems us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who was hung on a pole. Cursed is everyone who was hung on a pole. Were you hung on a pole? Were you guys hung on a pole? No, Christ was. But he hung for all. He's the everyone who was hung on the pole. Past, present, and future sins was hung on a pole through Christ. Aren't we thankful this morning that we don't have to go on the cross for our sins, but it's been paid by Christ, who has redeemed us, who has delivered us from sin? Colossians 1, it says this: "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." So when we come to salvation, this redeemed us, meaning that he's delivered us from sin and consequences, meaning we've transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. God's redemption. And you know what? That redemption is not just for people in the church, but it's for all humanity. It's for your friends that you hang out with. Whether they believe in Christ or not, it doesn't matter. God wants redemption in their life. It's for the people you hang out with. It's for your family that you dislike. Any family members that you dislike? God's redemption is for them. I know we all have someone we don't like in our family, but God's redemption is for them. So the first one was, salvation involves forgiveness of sin. Salvation involves redemption. The third thing I need us to understand is salvation includes the promise of eternal life. This is why I say we treat salvation so lightly or so casually, that I feel like God wanted us to be reminded of that we need saving daily. We need his redemption daily. I don't know about you, but sometimes, like, even though my outward appearance and the way I talk to people may be all good, but in my heart, sometimes it's whack. And so I need God to redeem in here. Every day, I've always asked God, like, the things that are happening around me, I mean, going to God, can you create in me a clean heart, a pure heart? Every day, I don't know why I've been praying that. I know there's an aspect of my life why I need to pray that prayer, but every day, even this morning I woke up, I was like, God, keep my heart pure. And it's not because I'm doing anything silly, it's just like things around me causes me to be disheartened, be pushed down. And I'm just like, God, keep my heart pure. Because I need redemption daily. I need forgiveness daily. And we got to remember that our salvation is attached to eternity. It's a promise. That salvation is for us here and now, but salvation also has eternal effect. Salvation is for here and now. We're walking out this life of salvation, but salvation also in heaven. I don't like it when we as Christians, when I say we as Christians, I'm not pointing at you, I'm pointing at the Christian across the road, around the block, but I dislike it that we are so caught up in I just want Christ to come back. I actually don't want him to come back yet. The reason why is because there's so many people that don't know him. How selfish of me wanting to get to heaven and people don't know him. And, but I see it on YouTube. I listen to a lot of Christian people, even non-Christian people, and just everyone's like, man, I can't wait when Christ comes back. I was like, I'm not ready for him to come back, because there's a people that I know who aren't saved. And I know when I get to heaven, I'm not going to remember. I'm going to be just worshiping him and not worried about it anymore. But I can be worried now, because salvation is not just eternity. Salvation's here now. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." You may perish in the physical form here on earth, but you will not perish in heaven. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Are we all right this morning? Salvation, there's a promise to attach to our salvation. And I'm thankful that God has attached his promise of eternal life. But don't be that Christian that's just so caught up in just having eternal life and forgetting that we have a mandate here on earth to go out to the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That commission that wasn't just brought on the pastors of a church, but that commission was brought on the disciples of God. If you're a disciple here this morning, you're commissioned to do that. Are we okay? The fourth one I want us to go over. Salvation involves transformation. So we've got the forgiveness of sin, we've got redemption, we got the promise of eternal life. Salvation also involves transformation. Salvation doesn't leave us where we are, but it starts to change from the inside out. This is how you know whether you are saved or not, when transformation takes place. But not transformation like instantly, because some people get instant change. I know some people who like were drug addicts and or alcoholics and smokers and whatnot and swearers, and when they got saved, it gone straight away. But when I look at it, it's like probably the top 2%. Top 2%. I believe like 95, 98% of us have to go for a journey of getting rid of those stuff. Or getting rid of those things that we know that we have to get rid of. But I'm thankful that salvation involves transformation. Because in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. If you are in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Meaning that's present tense. You've become a new creation, present tense. But it doesn't mean that all the habits are gone. God's going to work on those habits on the journey. Are we all right? Habits are habits because you've constantly, consistently done it. You have to create new habits. But I'm thankful that we're still transformed, because God knows he's put a clause to our salvation. Like he's like, I know I've saved you, I know I've transformed you, and you've become a new creation. But I'm still going to work out in you, because there's stuff in you that needs yuck. He's put a clause to our salvation. He's like, I'm still going to work on you, but you're still transformed, still a new creation. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. There's this truth about salvation that God wants transformation to take place. He doesn't want us to stay where we are. He wants to take us to a place where he's called us, where he's made us to be. It's like that old quote that churches use. I remember back in the day when we used it like, man, come as you are to church. Have you heard of that? Come as you are to church. Come as you are. I agree. Come as you are. But don't stay as you are. God wants you to come as you are, but he wants to transform you from the inside out so you're not the same again. God's into the business as come as you are, but he doesn't leave us as we are. And imagine, like, just have a thought about yourself, okay? Imagine if you're saved, but he left you the way you were when you got saved. Oh, my goodness. This church will be a mess. I'll be a mess. I'll be, like, more or less qualified, you know? Like, far out. But I'm so glad that God takes us from glory to glory, precept upon precept, level to level, that he will not just save us, but he delivers us and transforms us. And that transformation is daily. That's why I named the title of the message, I'm being saved daily. Because I need to be transformed daily. I need to be redeemed daily. Salvation. The fifth one, salvation involves justification. What does that mean, Jordan? What does it mean being justified through Christ? In other words, we have been declared righteous or in right standing with God, not because of our own works, but because of Christ's sacrifice for us. God's declared us righteous. How does he declare us righteous when we're sinners? He sees us through the lens of Jesus, who has redeemed us, who has justified us. And so in the lens of Jesus, he's like, you're justified. So that tells us that it's not by works of our own that we can be justified in salvation, but it's through Christ alone. We can't be made righteous, we can't be made sanctified by our own works, but it's through Jesus Christ, who is what? Salvation. Romans 5. All these scriptures, I encourage you to read it over in your own time. Romans 5, 1 to 2 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. We stand in this grace, we stand in this righteousness, not because of our own works, but because of Jesus who did the work. So salvation not only involves redemption, but also justification. We've made righteous through Christ alone. Galatians 2, verse 16. Know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. By faith in Jesus Christ. Not by the works of the law, not by the things that we think that we should be doing, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. Why? Because we all fall short of the glory of God. We will always miss the mark. But because God the Father sees us through the lens of Jesus, he doesn't look at our works, but he looks at Christ's work on the cross for us. Are we okay? So we have salvation involves the forgiveness of sin. Salvation involves redemption. Salvation includes the promise of eternal life. Salvation involves transformation. Salvation involves justification. And the last one I want us to bring to, and this is something, this is tied to our identity. Salvation involves adoption. We once were the sons of the devil, but now we are sons and daughters of God. We were living in sin and darkness, living our own fleshly way, because you could only be a son of God or son of the devil. We once were, but with salvation, we have been adopted into the family of God. Aren't you excited? I'm excited. Ah. That means whatever my daddy in heaven has is mine. That is powerful if we could actually live that out and believe it. Because Christians will stop accepting the things of the enemy in their life. John 1, 12 to 13 says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. Those who believe in whose name? Christ, Jesus, have become what? Children of God. Galatians 3:26 says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. So we've got to stop looking at salvation as just the forgiveness of sin and us going to heaven. But there's more to salvation than that. There's redemption. There's justification. there's been adopted. And being adopted into the family of God means what? It goes on to this beautiful thing. I won't preach it today, maybe another time. But it goes into this other one of where God called us to be ambassadors, representatives of heaven. You know whatever we do on earth, like if you look at you as a child and your mum and dad, whatever I do reflects on my parents, whether I want to or not. Whatever you do reflects to your parent. My parents could be, like, they're amazing now, right? And imagine if I just went off the rails and did my own thing. Even though they're amazing, but people will still look at me like, that Sinny and a Phoenix kid. And you know what? In the back of you people's mind, they're judging. Oh, how did they pull them up? Hey, how's that? Hey, what, how did that work out? Like, don't lie, you know you do it. But if I physically represent my parents without, even though I'm an adult, got a wife, got a son, at the end of the day, I'm still representing them. Why? Because they're still here. And even when they're gone, who am I still representing them? Still them. So if that's done in fleshly form, how are we representing our Father? Because when people know you're Christian and they know you go to church, they look at you like, that church's not worth it. That God's not worth it. Because you're mad as I am. You're angry at the work like I am. You're all this like I am. So why would I take your God on if I'm still going to be the same? Being adopted into God's family is amazing. But that still comes at a cost. We reflect Him. And the reason why people don't want to go to church, the reason why people don't want to come to know Christ, is because who we're reflecting. So salvation is more than just being saved. Salvation is more than just going to heaven. But salvation is about being redeemed, being delivered from sin, being justified, righteous, not through our own works, but through Christ's work, and being adopted to the kingdom of heaven. But with that, we reflect the kingdom of heaven. And so I want to ask us, what are we reflecting? We have to ask us that question. We're going to go, am I representing my papa right? And that's why I said we need to be saved daily. Because sometimes, some days, can I be honest with you, I'm not representing my papa right. And it's not because I don't want to represent my papa right. It's because I'm human and I go through life's troubles as well. And sometimes it overwhelms me to a point where I'm not representing them well. But even in that case, you know what? God still redeems me. Even in that spot, God still forgives me. But then He doesn't just forgive me and redeems me. He wants me to go, Jordan, move from that space to my space. Move from the atmosphere of condemnation, move into the atmosphere of peace, into my presence, and start reflecting me right again. The salvation that I'm talking about this morning, church, is one that we need daily. Like last week, we talked about the arm of God. Whoa, the arm of God, yeah! Mighty, mighty woman, mighty man. Godly men, godly women, yeah, cool, yeah. But we also got to be reminded, we could be, but we've got to remind ourselves about the salvation that we chose to walk on. Because salvation can't be, like, Leah can't make a decision for me. I made that decision to be saved. So whose responsibility is it? Not Leah's, mine. And so with that salvation, I have to go, okay, God's adopted me as a son. So how should I reflect him? Okay, I know it's not by my works that I'm saved, it's by Jesus Christ. So how do I reflect my works to point back to Jesus? Because today, especially on social media, all these Christian artists and influencers have come to a point in life, and because now they're getting, not getting attacked, but they're getting, people are keeping them accountable now. It's because before it was all for glory, for God, but then it switched. When the glory started coming to them, it stayed to them. That's what happens when we don't stay in our salvation and go, actually, it's not by my works that this is possible. I'm not blessed because of my works, even though I do hard work, but my blessing truly comes from God. Even though I work hard, God's not working for me, I'm working. But He blesses everything around me to cause everything for my good. And even if I'm over here and He's like, Jordan, come back here. He's like, come back here. I want to redeem you today. That redemption is not just for a one-time moment where we do a prayer on a Sunday and the beginning of a service and like, oh Lord, come into my life. And it just happens like that and it's over. No, it's every day. God, wherever my heart is, can you just align my heart to your heart? Align my ways to your ways. Align my thoughts to your thoughts. We've got to do that every day. We need to go to every day and go, God, I come into my salvation that's only through Christ today. I pray that if there's anything in me that is not of you, search my heart of God. I think, where's it? Melba was at Team Huddle this morning. I'll read the, it's a scripture in Psalms 139. I think that's applicable right now. Where is it? Sorry, people. Nope. Ah, there. Psalms 139. I encourage you to pray this prayer in your own time, but at the same time, count the cost of this prayer because it's going to hurt you. 100%. Psalms 139, verses 23 to 24. It says, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me. I can picture like my wife, like, try me. Try me. You know, like black films, try me. Come on, let's go. Try me. That's what we say to God. We're like, try me. Search my heart, O God. Try me and know my anxieties. That's not pretty. And see if there is any wicked, if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Can I say that again? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. What are we saying? God, I need your salvation daily, so search my heart today. Try me. And then you're going, if there's anything wicked in me, reveal to me so that I can go to the path of everlasting. That's scary. But I believe that God's pointing His people that way. Search my heart, Lord. I want to make sure that I'm pointing to You. Because if I be adopted to the kingdom of God, I want to make sure it's pointing to You. I may be going through like a lot of blessings right now. I may be getting all this accolade, whatever. But Lord, it's not about me. It's about You. So search my heart, O Lord. Know my inner thoughts. Try me. I'll just picture that right now. Try me. Try me and see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. salvation. Tell your neighbor, turn to your neighbor, say, I'm being saved daily. Tell your other neighbor, I'm being saved daily. I just want to encourage us this morning. Don't think it's just a one-time moment, but it's an everyday journey of walking out or working out our salvation. Yes, salvation, it brings forgiveness of sin, 100%. Redeems us, justifies us, 100%. But it also adopts us. Salvation brings us into adoption to the Most High God. Salvation involves justification, transformation, involves eternal life. So can I encourage us this morning? Let us not treat our salvation so lightly when there's a lot at cost. Let us not treat it so lightly that we make the cross not as powerful as it should be. Christ could have gave up. Christ could have said, nah, I'm going back to heaven. I'm not taking this. At the end of the day, Christ could have said, you know what? It's not worth it. It's not worth this bloody tears. It's not worth all this pain. It's not worth all of it. He could have went back to heaven and he would have been still God. Christ could have been still God even if he didn't do it. But he still did it because of you and I. He still walked through that pain. He still walked that cross. He still got that nails on. Still got the thorns on. He still got the spear. He still got the sour wine. He still got all that, the spitting, the mocking. He got all that, even though he didn't have to do it. He did it. Why? Because you and I. Salvation is not something small. Salvation's everything. And salvation can only truly come from one name. Jesus. Amen. So as we go out through this week, remind yourself, I'm being saved daily. Every time you make a mistake, every time you fall short, every time you miss a beat, go back to God and go, thank you, Lord, I'm being saved daily. Just remind yourself, you don't have to get it right all the time. You're not going to, because you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. We're always going to have a mistake, and we're going to have mishaps. We're going to skip a beat. But you know what? God redeems us. God justifies us. God forgives us. But he doesn't just forgive us and leave us there. He delivers us from it. And so I want to encourage us as we go throughout this week that when you have those mistakes, when you do mess up, don't put yourself in condemnation, but go to God and go, God, I thank you that I'm being saved daily. Remind yourself what the Word of God says. Remind yourself that you're a child of God. When you have Christ in your life, it says that you are a child of God through faith. So you don't have to beg your way back to the Father, because you're a child. I never let my son beg back to me. Have you, parents, done that? Like make your kids actually beg? You wouldn't do that. Why? Because you love them so much. You'll forgive them constantly. Even if it's so wrong, you'll go, I still love you. I still forgive you. I don't agree with it, but I still love you. God's the same. God will go, I don't agree what you've done, but come back to me. I love you. But I'm not going to keep you the way you are. I want to transform you from the inside out so that you won't do it again. And then you're like, mess up again, and you did it again. And God's like, come back. Let's do some working again. I want to transform you again. Work on it again. Work on it again, because we're getting saved daily. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that we're being saved daily. That it's not just a one-time moment, but it's an everyday commitment with you, Holy Spirit. And so, just like what Psalms 139 says, search my heart. I pray that, God, you search our heart. I pray that you whatever wickedness or anything that's in us that is not of you, reveal to us this week, Lord God, so that we can bring it to you and work it with you. We thank you, Lord Father, for eternal life. We thank you that you redeemed us. We thank you that you justified us. We thank you that you took the price for us. And so we don't treat salvation lightly, but we treat it with reverence. And so, Father, we honor you. We thank you, Jesus, for doing such an amazing job when you're here on earth. We look forward to your coming back, but we also look forward to what you're doing in us, through us now. And so, Father, we give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.